Long live the kings and queens. Raise your glass as I propose a toast to the long living legacy of the Cottonmouth King. Long live the king.
We're still here, we got the game on lock. We ain't going nowhere, we still sitting on top. We still doing our thing, we still reigning supreme. That's why everywhere we go, they yell at Cottonmouth King. We still here, we got the game on lock. We ain't going nowhere, we still sitting on top. We still doing our thing, we still reigning supreme. That's why everywhere we go, they yell at Cottonmouth King.
Whoever thought these rowdy whiteys from the south of California, Orange County, would still be pushing and pounding. Our beats in the streets and smoking 15 years later. Some say it's an incredible feat like the rebound of the Lakers. So I'm here to thank the people that made it all possible. The kings and queens, toast to the crew that's out on the road. All my homies at the noise, men the warehouse shipping stage. Gotta make sure I'm your boy and these colors never fade.
Blaze the weed, you can ask a friend. Load the ball, burn the hand. Let the games begin, so here we go. Yeah, yeah, on the road. Players blow, Cottonmouth, killing the shows. Fuck the hoes, 13, we still in the road. Killing the flows, killing the shows. Killing the quality, we killing the dough. Feeling the soul, feeling the drove. We feeling the money, so now you know. Cottonmouth, bitch, you can get a taste of it. Reload the next trick, and I bet y'all make you famous.
For itself. So let me pull a nug from the top shelf and increase the wealth of the Cottonmouth family. Forever we shall stay. Put your joints to the sky and hear me when I say.
Yo, what up, what up? I be the newbie. You can call me D-Ball, Romeo for doobie. Northwest King, gentlemen, town, better duck down when the bubble trigger back. This time we be taking over everything. I'm gonna bet we be tripling the money ring. Yeah, I'll tend to provide automatic, I'm alive, ready for the drive. Yeah. Go boom, we sign into the room and bring in the newest to make it balloon. And one of the freshest around, and now it's the ground. The game should be fearing us. Imperious, and I'd be curious how close along. You were never right here with us. Nobody moved, nobody get hurt. You're part of the team, and we family now. Family now, family now, family now, family now.
We still here, we got the game on lock. We ain't going nowhere, we still sitting on top. We still doing our thing, we still reigning supreme. That's why everywhere we go, they yell at cotton. We still here, we got the game on lock. We ain't going nowhere, we still sitting on top. We still doing our thing, we still reigning supreme. That's why everywhere.
me.
Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me.
Hello, everyone. It is... Whoop. Hello. Okay, it's working. It is Windows Street. Yeah, it's Monday. I'm a little late because I was trying to look something up and can't find it. Not very surprising. Because it's a wrestling theme for an independent wrestling promotion called Ring of Honor. They have a heel or a bad guy group called the Embassy, and they've apparently just changed the music. It sounds like a national anthem of some kind. It is very pretty music. I posted a link to the video clip that I heard it on Facebook. It is just a really nice bit of music, and I'd like to know where it is. No clue how to even find a clue, basically, because there really is... Hey, Wairu, there really isn't any... apparently, they've had some music from Kanye West and something from MIA, and neither one of them are it. I can guarantee that. I know a national anthem when I hear it. Once you hear a national anthem, you realize that they're all heavily orchestral and usually loud. It almost sounds like something from the Olympics. You know, real loud trumpets blazing and bass drums beating and that kind of thing. I wish I could play it. I really do. I'm hoping before Rendell's Ravings goes off the air to be able to play it at least once, you know, because... It's just such a pretty song. So, speaking of podcasts, I've got two active podcasts right now aside from this. Finite Exposure with Chaos, which we do every Wednesday. Yes, it hasn't been updated in a while. That's because before I left, I didn't get him the file. And when I came back, he had saved it and forgot where it was. Well, this last week, he didn't take the file with him. So, next week, you know, in a couple of days, when he comes over, I'm going to physically, you know, force him to put them not only on his computer, but in a place where he can find them. Because, granted, the third one wasn't, you know, a huge, awesome thing. But the last one we did, you could probably tell that clicking is gone. That's because I'm no longer using SAM 3. I'm back to using SAM 2. I don't know what it was. It's something in SAM 3. I know that much because it just really was horrid. So, this is show 198. For those of you keeping count. And yes, that may be right or wrong. Either way, I'm going with that count. And at number 200, the show is stopping. I don't know when I'll pick it up again. I don't know if I'll pick it up again. I'm stopping it because, unlike Wairu, who's in the room now, I don't hear from anybody. You know, that's just the sad fact of it. It's hard to get into doing something and to putting effort into things when you get no feedback on it. I mean, if Cody and I don't get any feedback from Finite Exposure, fine. That I don't mind because it's two of us, we're getting together, we're having fun for a couple of hours a week. That I don't mind. Bozo Criminal, I don't give a shit if I never get feedback from it, because Bozo Criminal Report is maybe 2 minutes a day. I come on, I say, welcome to the Bozo Criminal, I read the Bozo Criminal, I give a couple of thoughts, boom, I'm done. You know, 2 minutes, I think I did the longest one today, which was 3 minutes. And if, in case you don't read the show notes, Finite Exposure... .podomatic.com and bozocriminal.podomatic.com are the two that I'm referring to. But Bozo Criminal just came because I've always thought that it'd be really cool to do a Bozo Criminal report. And because I've been doing Bozo Criminal for years now on Rendell's Ravings. It's kind of my move to kind of shove like 2 cents into getting a Gore News one. Because this was my favorite. Bozo Criminal has always been a fun spot for me ever since I started doing it in the Thought of the Day. I like doing the Bozo Criminal report. As people found out, and I did warn them, last weekend there were no updates because I can only update when the site updates. The site is linked in my podcast, so go on over there. It's electricferret.com/bozo if you just don't want to take the effort. But it is a fun page, and it's international. So, hey, anybody across the pond, in either direction, you know, go ahead and send them in. So, he says, you know, names may be changed or omitted to protect the stupid. Well, I'm sure if he can't pronounce them, you know, he may leave them off too. But the report will be in. So, I strongly suggest you keep it going, because it's a fun site. It really is. It actually took a vacation for a while, and I wrote to him and asked him to come back because I was so used to doing it. I need to write to him again and let him know that I'm actually kind of doing a radio cast of his website every day that he updates it now. So it's fun. It's a really fun little site. I highly recommend it. It's a good way to get a chuckle every day. Wairo, I need you to give me a Facebook email from you, because when I go out to invite for the event, I can never remember who you are. I've got like 200 people, so I need to know who you are so I can invite you. We actually had a couple of people, and this is no surprise. I mean, one of them's Dad, and Dad is just horrible when it comes to times. Who else said they were coming? We had a couple of people say they were coming. And a couple of people that I invited are on now. So, you know, that's... Polly said she was going to come. I don't see her yet, but... And again, you know... I think Reap and Polly just make sure one or the other of them say that, and then Dad. So, and Calvin might be here. Jeanette, I tried to invite several times, and Jay might be here. Jay's on, too. Why he's not here, I don't know, but I don't think Jeanette's on. I know he's on. I think I invited Jet. Yeah, in fact, he just posted, so... What can you do? I mean, I'm not going to sit there and hold a gun to their heads, so... But Jay's on, Polly's on, Jet's on, 3 people right there, Reap is on. So, 4 people that I invited, you know, they're just not here. So, actually, looks like somebody responded to it, but it wasn't somebody I even invited, I don't think. So, I don't know how that happened. It's because I shared a link common to somebody else who shared it on Friday, of all things. And this is most recent. That shouldn't even be there. But, okay, and he just put his name in there, so I'll... Okay, Wairo, that works. Yeah, if you can put in little parentheses by your name, Wairo, or put like I have for Raving Rendell so I can tell who it is. So, I don't know, maybe you don't want people knowing that. I can't say I don't understand that. Speaking of podcasts, I'm thinking of doing a podcast covering Ring of Honor's Monday show on HDNet. I really like Ring of Honor. In fact, I did a podcast review of their April 3rd show that I got to watch. I didn't do one for the second one. I've ordered two, but the one the feed fucked up while I was watching it, I just haven't had the motivation to go back and watch it. The good thing about on demand with Go Fight Live, which is what Ring of Honor goes through, is right now I could go and look at those two whenever I want to. It's $15 per event, but you can go at any time and watch them all over again, which is cool. I mean, I like stuff like that. But yeah, I've been thinking about it for a little while, and more or less because the one place that I go to listen for wrestling news, Who's Slamming Who, does not have a Ring of Honor portion of their podcasts, their weekly podcasts. I thought of writing to Tommy Fierro and seeing, you know, I've got money now, would you mind if I tried this? And I just can't find his name. I mean, when he put out that he was going to have fan segments available for, I think it was $150 a month, I did write to him saying, I'm interested, I just don't have the money right now. Well, as is always with me and money, now I have the money, and I can't find his address. So, we're just kind of hung up on that right now. But I wouldn't mind trying it. I'd like to try it for about a month by myself, see how it goes. But, yeah, I think that would be really cool to do Ring of Honor. I'm not sure if I call it the review or the report or the rundown, something. I know they have a little whatever begins with an R, and I just need to basically find out what that is and before I can name mine, because I don't want to steal their name. I'm not doing it. I don't want to do that. That's not why I'm doing it. I don't care. Yeah, so what did I do? Not a hell of a lot. I went to Mission Improv on Friday. And I was a judge. I was the judge who kind of kept the scores balanced. So, making sure that one team didn't get ahead of the other, which was really hard, because my math kept getting off. I think that the first judge would give a 4 when he'd give a 5, or, you know, a 5 when he'd give a 4 or something. So I was always just a point or two off. And it came down to the fact that I gave one team the win because I could either go with a 2 and have them lose or go with a 4 and have them win. They didn't want a tie. And they did so well, I couldn't justify giving them a 2. So, I had to give them a 4. But they won by 1 point. It was like 29-30. It was a really good one. And then for the second half, I ran the camera. I kind of put breaks in the camera for them so it would be easier for them to upload stuff to YouTube. This Friday will be their last one, and I'm going to be doing sound. So I knew I wouldn't get out of doing sound at some point. That's just what I am for the theater. I'm a sound person, which is perfectly fine by me. You know, I like doing sound. It's really going to be hard to do an improv sound. I mean, because there is no set schedule, so that's not going to be easy for me. And I honestly wish that I could, you know, I probably should have gone up and had them show me, but I'll be getting there at 6 o'clock, and the thing doesn't start until 8, you know, 6 or even 7 o'clock. That gives me an hour to play around with things, so I'll have enough. For the second half, I basically doodled, literally. They have paper tablecloths with crayons that you doodle, and then they put up the doodles by the ticket booth. I literally covered a tablecloth in little doodling. And I'd take a picture of it, except we don't have a digital camera available right now, and honestly, looking at my room, I can't honestly remember where I put it anyway. But it was just, I mean, anybody who's lived around me knows I make kind of like little jagged edge, little weird things, and I literally had the whole tablecloth covered with them. But I liked it. I thought it was really fun. As long as we're on theater, the theater is closing. That's not news. Greetings from Nowhere said it, and we kind of touched up on it in Finite Exposure. It can be said now, I'm pretty safe, that January 1st they want us, is the deadline they've given us to have things straightened up. We can be there. It's just that after that date, they can't guarantee we'll have the space. So technically, it's, well, yeah, you know what? Look, we can't say that you can't be here, but what we can say is we don't know if you'll be able to stay here. Basically the same thing. Excuse me. But we are still doing The Haunt. Our shows are gone. This is the reason why I'm not really pissed that they broke it on Greetings from Nowhere, is because Christina had a play that had been accepted around the world in 80 days, and she was basically telling people, if you don't hear anything about castings, because there won't be any, our season wasn't going to start until next year. Because we have bookings for like a couple, like a opera and then a Christmas show and whatnot, but because of those things, we couldn't build a set, so we weren't going to be able to start our season until next year. Well, now next year, we won't be there. So I'm not saying that there won't be a season. There could still be. It's just that it won't be at the press room. There's just no way we can do it. If we can find a place and get things moved in, get the lights set up, get the speakers set up, that kind of thing, we may still be able to do a show this year. I don't rate that very highly. I don't know how long it will be. I have a feeling, a very sad one, that we may be back to looking for whoever will put us on for a show. You know, I don't know if we're going to have a set place now. We may be rather nomadic for a while. And there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah. We are doing The Haunt, though. We are going out on a bang. Yes, I voted for it, but I voted for it on the principle that while people are doing The Haunt, people can come in, since the place will be open anyway, and they can help they can help people sort through, you know, if they're sorting through props for The Haunt, then, you know, oh, can we use this for The Haunt? Yes. Well, can we use this if we're not using it for The Haunt? No. Well, then it's garbage. You know, while they're doing the things that they'd be doing anyway, we can put people in and further our own causes, i.e. getting everything cleared out. I'm actually thinking about the opera and thinking about the Christmas thing. I'm not sure how that's going to go, because we want to take down the lights and we want to take down the sound before The Haunt. If we wait that long, we won't be able to. I mean, they're literally like the last week of December. We would literally have to do everything but those and take the whole last week of nothing but taking down lights, speakers, moving the tables and chairs, and then taking apart the stage. So that'd be a lot for like a week or two. And remember, this would be around Christmas. That is the reason why I think they were hoping we wouldn't have a Haunt. Because number one, we don't need the money, honestly. The only reason we were going to do a Haunt is because we were staying there and we had pledged to help fix the roof. So, but that was under the condition that we were allowed to stay. That ain't happening now. I hope they don't think that's happening, because they ain't happening. I'm sorry, you're going to kick us out. You're going to kick me out. I'm not going to repair the roof on the way out. fuck you. That's your job now. So, and I don't want people to think that the Wenatchee world are bad. Rufus, who runs the place and has let us be there, does not want to see us go. It's just that they cannot afford to let us stay. Perfectly understandable given the economy. And we've got a good reference if we want it. So, hey, you know, you can't argue with that. But that's the Mission Creek Players update. Second Life, I want to talk about for a few minutes. Second Life really got hit hard by my vacation. Two reasons. Number one, I just wanted to enjoy my vacation. Number two, the quality of the internet I had while I was on vacation was not the best. I'd get dropped from Second Life on my dad's connection, which was a 5-bar connection. I still don't get it. But I would just get randomly dropped. My connection would still be good. But Second Life itself, or no, my connection wouldn't be good. My connection would just go away and then not come back for a while. So I gave up trying to go on there. I couldn't go on when we were in Bacchus because there we only had a 2-bar connection. And of course, so what happened? I ran into somebody while I was on one of my characters, and we had some fun, and I really enjoyed being with them. And then came vacation. Well, now I come back, and they're on a whole different character, and they don't know when that character is going to be on, and that's just kind of depressing. Because I was coming on as a character that hadn't been on in a while. Finally, with meeting their character, I had a reason to stay. Well, now they don't have a reason to stay. And this happens to me constantly. Another thing, before I left, like literally the weekend before I left, Spider had gotten killed, and after like 3 weeks of fucking around, finally got brought back. Well, then I had vacation. Now I am hopelessly behind. I've been back 2 weeks, and I don't know what the hell's going on. Or no, I've been back a little over a week. Because I came back a week from Thursday. So about a week and a half I've been back, and I'm so hopelessly lost on there now. I'm feeling like I was in the Klan. Because... And this was worse in the Klan, because I was the boss. I was supposed to know what was going on, and nobody told me, and then got pissed at me when I didn't know, of course. Well, I'm kind of running into the same thing now, because I'll go on Spider, and it's just like something isn't right. You know, I don't know how to interact with people. I've been gone so long, I think I just got very uncomfortable with all the politics between getting killed and getting brought back. I mean, it was just stupid. I don't get it. I mean, I like Second Life, I like LA, but it's really getting difficult to stay there. I don't mind that the person on my other character found a character. I guess what pisses me off more is the fact that now they're talking about, oh, well, this character likes this person, this character has a crush on this person. I'm like, okay, so where does that leave me? You know, I'm gonna admittedly be a little selfish here. Let me guess, because I disappeared, now that's gone. Now I can't be trusted to stay around, so now I'm not even a thought. Which is how it usually goes. So, I'm guessing that's what's going to happen now, which will mean that that character will go away again. And of course, you know, I'll be around on my other character, and that one will probably, you know, say, I'll probably overhear, well, I was, you know, I like this person, but they just left, and I don't know why, and I'll be really tempted to say, because you gave up. What was I supposed to do? I mean, she even talked about her character doing something, getting something, and then saying, well, she, you know, this character is doing this now, so stay away from her. I'm like, I never see her anymore anyway. That won't be her. And they laughed at it. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I forgot about that. I'm like, yeah, I didn't. I've been looking for her. I've been looking for her since I came back. She isn't here. What do you do? Second Life is what I have been used to doing. And a lot of people are saying, well, use this, go out, do something. Do what? I live on disability. Everything costs money. I can't get a job. Yes, those are excuses. I could go down the mall. I could go to a movie. I could go bowling. But what's going to happen when the money's gone? That's why I stick to Second Life. That's why I stick to gaming. I have those figured into my budget, so they are always there if I need them. I just happen to need them a lot. You know, that's not something I like, but that's the reality. Even if I move to Montevideo, even if I move back to Minnesota, the whole deal is still going to be the same. Yes, Mom, I can go out, I can go looking for work, but she knows as well as I do, in this economy, I cannot be guaranteed money. If I can't be guaranteed money, it isn't worth it. Because the money I'll have will just do one thing, and that's fuck up the money I would be getting anyway. I get $768 a month here. If I move back, I'd probably be knocked. I might be lucky and keep it. But if I get a job, then there'll be a 3-month span where I'll be fucked. I mean, for those of you who have not heard this, if you're on Social Security, I don't know what the limit is now. When I was working, it was $80. For every $2 above 80, they take out one. That's good, that's understandable, except it doesn't come out of your check until 3 months later. So you get hired, and this is what I give, because this is honestly what happened to me. You go out, you get a job. I got a job as a dishwasher for Pizza Hut when they first opened in Montevideo. And then 3 months later, I mean, I was getting about 60 hours a paycheck. Well, go ahead, 3 months later, I'm down to 30 hours a paycheck, but my SSI check has been knocked for 60. So, I know wherever I go, I'm going to run into that because nobody can guarantee me hours anymore. At this stage and in this economy, I need guaranteed answers. I need to know, hey, if I go do this, I'll be making 20 hours. I'll be working 20 hours a week. I need to know that. That needs to be set in stone. That's why it really hurt when I lived in Monty that the Monty Bar and Grill closed, or the hotel closed, because I worked as a dishwasher there. And I was, you know, doing 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, almost religiously, sometimes 7 days a week. But it was guaranteed, because I was the only dishwasher. So, and then, boom, closed. Because that money stopped coming in, and because it had been so regular, I mean, granted, at this point I didn't have a budget, but at that point I also didn't need a budget. I only had really two bills. I had phone. I didn't get cable. And I had, or did I get cable? I think I may have gotten very basic, or I bled it off of somebody. But I had phone and I had rent. That's it. That's all I had to pay for, aside from food. But when the job went away, then it was, oh shit, because I knew for 3 months my check would not come back, my SSI check, and I did not have enough to pay for it. And I had just moved like a couple of months before and told my dad, hey, yeah, we won't have to move me again. I didn't think I would have to. It's just the place went bankrupt. Well, how the hell do you prepare for that? It just, it really hurt. And that's the one thing that stops me from really seriously looking for a job. It's because I have money coming in and I cannot afford to mess with it. I can't afford to go to work at a place that will have good times and bad times. I have to work at a place that is solid in their hours, and there are no more anymore. So, yeah, that's basically that. I'm going to play a song right now because I need to update the show notes. Maybe it'll come in. I seriously doubt it, but that's life. That's why the show's stopping. So, this is Lita Ford and Ozzy Osbourne with Close My Eyes Forever.
If I close my eyes forever, will it all remain unchanged? If I close my eyes forever, will it all remain the same? Sometimes it's hard to hold on, so hard to hold on to my dreams. It isn't always what it seems when you're face to face with me. Like a dagger, you slit me the heart. It takes the blood from my blade. And when we sleep, would you shelter me in your warm and dark and gray? Will it all remain
You know, it'd be really cool, and I know that they would have announced it by now, is if BlizzCon could get Ozzy Osbourne back. That was one of the reasons I ordered BlizzCon last year, and if they're smart, they'll put out a DVD of that with that concert on there. It was only like four or five songs, but it was really good. I've never seen Ozzy live, and that's probably as close as I'll come. Okay, so new stuff. We're going to do some new stuff just to get it out of the way. And most of these were things found on Facebook. How to Survive as a Homeless Woman on the Streets is a YouTube video. Somebody posted, I can't remember who. Dan something. But it's very good, it's very telling, and anybody who thinks that they may end up being homeless needs to watch this, whether you're a woman or a man, because despite everybody not wanting to say it, we are in a depression. We are in a Great Depression, as bad as the one in the 20s or 30s, and because of that, if you're living on the streets, there's not much law, and there's probably no order. You have to protect yourself. This is a lady who was a mechanic, I believe, for a military mechanic of some kind that has had a lot of bad stuff happen to her. A couple of things she recommends is taking self-defense classes and getting camping gear while you can afford it. Then some lessons that you didn't think you'd ever have to learn, but that's something that really I've been thinking about lately, because we just got our rent increased again. It seems like every time they kick out a manager, we get our rent increased, and they've literally kicked out like four managers in the past 2 years, if not 1 year. I went away on vacation. When I came back, there was another manager, and Angela didn't even know it. So, I mean, but it's like, we have to raise your rent because of administrative stuff. And it's like, well, okay, for training them, yes, I could understand it, but then shouldn't it go down again? I mean, we've literally gone up like $150 in the past year and a half. That's a lot to go up. And it's getting to the point, I mean, granted, we'd have to break our lease, but I would gladly do it. Especially now with the kidlet not going to school. I don't give a shit when we move now. Or where we move, to be perfectly honest. That's the only reason I stayed that I didn't want to move out with Angie, is because I didn't want to take the kids out of school. Well, one graduated, the other one dropped out. Well, what the hell's the point now? But I found a house on Craigslist that was 4-bedroom house. Granted, one car garage, and we've got 3 cars, but you know what? Oh, darn. You know, there's the street. We can park there. They do allow pets. And it's like $850 a month. So it's about what we're paying now, but it's a house. 1.5 bathroom, which is what we have now. You know, it would make sense to get the hell out of here and move over there. Breaking our lease or not, I'd gladly break my lease to get out of here. And pets are okay. Cats are fine. We've got a cat. I don't think they'd have a problem with a spider, since it's always in the cage. And it's always up high. There's no way that it's going to fall off or get out. But I see the prices going up, and I know Norvac works. I know Angela gets some money from SSI and from welfare, and I get what I can get, but I know that at some point we're going to have to move here just out of necessity because it will be cost prohibitive to live here. This is not a $900 a month apartment. I'm sorry, maybe in Wenatchee it is, but this place is not a very good apartment. I would rather, if I'm going to pay $900, I would rather have a house. Doesn't have to be a mortgage. It can be a rental. Like I said, I just found one. But, you know, we've been here for so long. I think this is the longest place Angela or I have ever lived. So I think that's part of it. The other part is, yeah, moving is expensive. But you know what? It's worth it sometimes. One that just really, I'm mixed about. This is a British one. Parents indulging in smoking or drinking being dubbed child abusers. And the thought is that more accidents or more child abuse happens during when parents are smoking, or probably more obvious when they're drinking. I can understand that. That affects your especially drinking. I'd say drinking more than smoking. I've not known anybody, unless they were really on a nicotine fit. I've seen Angela do this a couple of times where it's almost like a rage. They're very short-tempered. They're very quick. They're very hostile. But, you know, you don't have to be addicted to a drug to do that. You know, that can be standard behavior for some people. Some people are just naturally high-strung. But the thing that gets me is that this guy's basically just painting everybody who does it with that brush. Well, that's basically the equivalent of saying that somebody who drinks a cube of beer a day should be painted a child abuser, and so should the guy who maybe has a shot of wine or just one shot a day, but because they drink in front of their kid, that's abuse. Let me say this right now. I would rather drink or smoke or do drugs in front of my kid than not, and try to hide it, and have it destroy things silently. My dad drank and my dad smoked. My mom occasionally drank. I don't know if she ever did smoke, but my sister drank and smoked. I mean, everybody I've lived around has smoked at least. Yes, secondhand smoke-wise, I'm probably a lot worse off than somebody who never lives around smoke. That's stupidly obvious. I'm around I'm around in an apartment where somebody is almost constantly smoking. But, on the other side, the people I've lived with are responsible. You know, my dad had some times there, but that wasn't the beer, that wasn't the cigarettes, that was life. That was, most of the time in Madison Lake or Sioux Falls, when things were very stressful. I don't account that to drinking or smoking. That was the situation. You can drink a cube a day, and as long as you've got a good life, you know, it's when drinking and smoking are stress relief. Because they're not. Smoking especially. There was one thing if I were to consider anything abuse, it'd be this, and that'd be smoking while driving. And the reason for drinking and driving is illegal. So, I would say smoking and driving, because, especially with a kid, that's unfair to the kid. Because they can't get away from it. Even if you open up a window, some of it's going to stay in. If you're in a house, there's always another room. And yes, over time you'll still get it, but it won't be direct in your face. If you're in winter, you know, and you've got the heater going, you can't roll down the window, and you're smoking with a kid in the car, I think that's rather mean. because that kid now is getting it, and that's not their choice. And, you know, it's simple. You just don't smoke while you're in the car then, you know. I don't smoke. I never have. I tried it once after I graduated. I bought a carton. I smoked one and handed it over. I couldn't get the hang of it. Actually, I think I tried to smoke two. After that, I just handed the closest friend the whole carton and said, here, you can do it. I can't. And never looked back at it. And then there's beer I've never gotten into. But again, do I blame my parents for that? No. My dad, when I'd see him drinking, would let me take a shot of beer. I hated it for the most part. There were a couple that I liked that were lighter. I liked the lighter stuff, but he usually drank heavier. So I couldn't handle it. Like Deer Beer from Shell Brewery. I had that when I was out of high school. We went down to the New Ulm Brewery because they were going to dedicate proceeds of it to the environmental groups. So we went down and I tried it. It's very nice. I don't know if they still make it. If they did, I'd have a drink if somebody offered it. I had champagne at a friend's birthday party once and didn't mind the taste of it, but it knocked me straight out. I'm a horrible lightweight. It didn't even take two flutes of champagne, and I was out. So, but yeah, that's just, as far as child abuse goes, there are a lot of things, and especially around Washington, we see a lot of it, where people are general assholes, and it's more for foster kids. That they just really, they abuse kids and they keep getting them back, and several kids have died in the foster system these past few years because of negligence. That's the abuse I'd rather be seeing. You want to smoke and drink in front of your kids in your own home, that's fine. Just to, if I were going to put a barrier, then it would be no smoking in the car. That'd be it. Because then whoever's in the car with you is trapped. And that's not fair to them. So, Wairu's got... I may smoke a ciggy once every 3 years just to remind myself how bad they taste. And not a big alcohol fan, rather have an RC cola. RC's not bad. That's kind of licorice-y, if I remember right. And I can't really handle licorice stuff. That's like Dr. Pepper. But, yeah, I haven't had a cigarette or a cigar in almost 20 years. So, I just can't do it. And drinking is just not for me. So, that's my thoughts on that. Next one is something from Stephen Hawking. I got it off of CNET. It's outer space or die for humans. Basically saying that, look, with the way the planet is going, we need to get off of it if our species is going to survive. We have a chance if in the next couple of centuries we don't have a major catastrophe. Well, I'd say what's going on now to be relatively major, because it's destroying an entire ecosystem in part of the planet. The entire Gulf is going to be changed by this, if not destroyed by it. And that's just a huge thing. Then in the oceans, you've got the 7 or 8 Texas-sized islands of plastic. You know, this. There are so many things that people are not focusing on that really should be, that I'm not even going to lie and say it's not, it's our space or die, maybe. It's outer space or die, exactly. There's just, we need a backup plan. The way we've treated this planet and the way the planet is dealing with how we're treating it, it's getting very hazardous at this point. Do I think we'll be in space in 10 years? I doubt it. That's because of where everybody chooses to put their money. They're not putting their money where their mouth is on this because they don't think it's possible. Well, it's definitely not going to be possible if nobody tries it, or nobody pushes for it, or nobody thinks about it. Of course, it's not going to be possible. But that's, you know, like I said, that's just me, and I'm sure there are other people, but what are you going to do? Windows 7 dinged by new zero-day vulnerability. It's all text-speak to me. I'm putting this in because, unlike the title, this doesn't affect Windows 7 alone. It affects Vista, Windows Service Pack 2, Windows XP Service Pack 3, and a couple of others. So I'm putting this on. Go click on it. Look at it. Make sure that you're secure against it, as secure as you can be. It doesn't offer any fixes, but it'd be a good thing to go and look at just in case you're running that. And unless you're running a Mac, I don't think there's any danger of you not running it unless you're on Windows 98. Then you'd be okay, or Windows 3.11. I cannot remember. There used to be a counter site that would tell the operating system of the user's computer. And up until about 3 years ago, when I was doing affiliate stuff, I was still seeing Windows 3.1. It's just like, Jesus. Yeah, and that's got to be like a foreign country thing, because I can't imagine anybody in America still being on Windows 3.1. Windows 98? Yes. Windows 95? Possibly. Windows 98? Yeah, I can see that. Windows ME? Of course I can see that. My dad's laptop is on ME. ME 2000, that kind of thing. XP is still very popular, though it's getting shot down now because it's got some security issues. Vista always got something. And 7 is just looking too buggy right now for me to really justify upgrading to. Wairu doesn't like Dr. Pepper. Well, I can't argue with you there. Since we're on computers and we're getting ready to take a break, this is going to be Zero Punctuation, Death, Spank, and Limbo. Doing a dual review this week. And yeah, I'll just let him tell you.
They say that money is the root of all evil, but somehow I doubt Mrs. Hitler was being impregnated by a roll of Deutschmarks. The saying works better if you replace money with rich businessmen in tight suits who won't even put 20 cents in a gumball machine if they can't expect a return of investment, and evil with bland semi-action adventure clones kneeling on the bed of a dried-up watering hole licking the dirt for moisture, and is with R if you want to be grammatically correct. It's hard to find innovation in big-budget mainstream games when you can't make a single designer suggestion without triplicate proof that Gears of War did it, and this illustrates the importance of independent development. We're fortunate to live in a time when it's never been easier to get exposure for new and innovative ideas, and I'd like to grant a little more exposure to two recent Xbox Live Arcade titles, starting with Deathbank, a Diablo clone. Actually, that's not completely fair. Just in case the title hasn't told you everything you needed to know yet, Deathbank is more like Diablo mixed with hack and slash and marinated in Monkey Island overnight, which makes sense because it was served up by the same chef, Ron Gilbert. You are the stalwart hero Deathbank. You have come to a faraway land of fantasy in order to acquire the mysterious artifact known only as the Artifact, and do your bit to help the downtrodden along the way, with most of the downtrodden all needing the kind of help that involves killing strangely specific numbers of certain kinds of monster. Deathbank is that particular breed of parody that basically just does all the same things as the kind of thing it's parodying, but occasionally points to itself and goes, "Hey everybody, look!" Then the Wayans brothers make a parody of that, full of bodily fluids and pop culture references, and the collective IQ of the general public drops another precious notch. Deathbank is a game that's all about its flavor text. Every character has a funny dialogue tree, and every item has a funny description. Ha ha, my sides. It'd just be nice to be able to read the fucking things. It's got the Dead Rising problem of assuming that everyone either owns a 6-foot TV, or sits right in front of it with their forehead super glued to the screen, and all the text and details are smaller than a gnat's tit. The largest enemies are actually far easier to kill, because you can tell the difference between when they're raising their arm to attack or when they're just pointing out an interesting cloud to a friend, so they're easier to counterattack. Otherwise, it's extremely hard to escape a battle without losing health when you're surrounded by little yappy murderers who look exactly like the crisp packets all over the floor. That's why it gets more and more irritating to have to sit and eat food to restore your health every 10 seconds, since attacking or being attacked at any point while eating makes Deathspank throw his lunch unfinished to the ground. Here is a man in dire need of a foam dome full of beef casserole, and it doesn't take long for the hilarious food-eating noise to start grating when it sounds like a dog eating watermelon next to your ear while discussing his favourite arsehole smells. I guess the recommendation for Deathspank depends entirely on whether you feel a game can be carried by humour, because there's certainly a lot of that, but strip it away and it's just a slightly annoying hack-and-slash RPG. But hey, too many games these days are about scowling serious tosspots with so many brooms up their arse they could lean against a wall and call themselves a cleaning cupboard, so perhaps humour is enough. Personally, I stopped playing because gameplay just got too dreary and the voice acting rubbed me up like a bed full of biscuit crumbs, so let's move on. And speaking of games that take themselves too seriously, our second XBLA game is Limbo, an arty platformer developed by Manic Depressives for Manic Depressives. There's a bit of an unspoken rule on Kasplar that the easiest way to get critically acclaimed is to make a bleak arty platformer about a small child with an oversized head in a big scary world, with bonus points if they have to lose their innocence at some point. Anyway, in Limbo you play the silhouette of a small child with an oversized head in a silhouette of a big scary world, and your objective is to keep moving right until the game says stop. And bleak is an understatement. This is bleak multiplied by grim to the power of Hot Topic. Absolutely everything is trying to kill you in needlessly gory ways. Because of the nature of the art style, there's no way of knowing they will do so until your disembodied head is ricocheting off a suicidal pallbearer's hat. There are enough autosaves that this isn't really a problem, and it all adds to this wonderful sense of oppression and loneliness that I, as a horror fan, found quite stirring in my pants. There's a sequence early on involving a spider that I won't spoil, but if there's not at least one part of your conscious mind loudly evacuating its bowels throughout, then cancel this afternoon's appointments because you appear to have died. Insects are a recurring theme in the game, because that's exactly what you are, a tiny, scared, insignificant insect gazing up incomprehensingly at the towering food chain at the bottom of which you lie. The world is massive, cruel, and unsympathetic, and the best you could hope for is to end up in a hedgehog poo, so man up, your highness. Gameplay-wise, it's kind of like the evil parallel universe equivalent of Little Big Planet, with challenges based solely around platforming and pulling boxes around. After a while, the game abandons arachnid-based atmosphere building and just becomes a sequence of physics puzzles, which was a little disappointing. I like how the game never repeats itself, but it is very short, especially for 1200 gamer points. It's like it ends at the very instant it runs out of ideas, clapping its hands and going, right, that's your lot, here's your disappointing ending. Go home now, don't look back, you mustn't dwell. I guess a recommendation for Limbo depends entirely on whether you feel a game can be carried by apocalyptic despair. The final question, I suppose, is which of the two games I recommend most? Well, if you're rich enough to patronise the arts now and then, put on your tuxedo, uncork some pricey Chablis, and experience for yourself an evening of Limbo. But if you're more in the market for a bulk buy economy brand kind of entertainment, then order out for a barbecue meat lovers with a 2-litre Coke and try Deathspank. Alternatively, if neither option appeals and you'd prefer something bland and unchallenging, then why not try Eating a Dick?
I knew I was going to say yes. Yahtzee and dual reviews tend to get a little. His single reviews tend to get a little strange, and dual reviews are just basically doomed. We've got the Bozo Criminal of the Day and the Thought of This. So let's get those out of the way. Bozo Criminal Report for August 9th. Thanks to Bozo News Hawk Dave Benoit for sending in today's report. From Boston, Massachusetts comes the story of Bozo Saeed Mustafa, who approached an off-duty police officer and said, "Hey, you want to buy some dope?" Our Bozo then pulled out a clear baggie containing a substance believed to be heroin. It was when the officer identified himself that our Bozo offered up the Bozo Backtrack of the Week. He then said, "Just kidding, it's my thyroid medicine." The officer didn't buy the old thyroid medicine excuse, and he's now busted. One reason he probably didn't care about that is I'm sure this wouldn't be the first time that somebody has offered to sell what would be an illegal substance, and then come to find out it's like Drano or bleach or something, so... Yeah, backtracking like that probably doesn't work because it happens a lot every day. So, thought of the week.
Well, let me think about it. If, as an apparently non-corporeal universal concept, I can think.
From Gene... Whoop. Whoa, hey, it disappeared. the hell? I think it's opening in a new reason. Yes, it is. I don't know what does that. Every now and then, it'll just open up in a new window. It's like it detaches the tab somehow in Firefox. From Gene Anouilh. Oh, my God. A-N-O-U-I-L-H. Anouilh. This is weird. Love is, above all else, the gift of oneself. Yeah, basically. It's a neat way of putting it. I just wish the page wouldn't have opened up. Podcast notes. Random listener this week is on a Snapdragon in El Camino Real, California, with 2 downloads, and then literally, this is the show graphic, the Irish Sea. Somebody on a boat somewhere in Northern Ireland, with 2 downloads. Total downloads this week, 267. Downloads in the U.S., 19. Cut China, big surprise, with 133. Most downloads single are Little L-Shaped Field between Brainerd and DeGraff, Kansas, with 8. And international, Jiran or Jira, I can't tell if it was an N or an H, in China, with 7. Podomatic rank 343, which is a hell of a long way up from where we were when I came back from vacation. I was in the 1200s somewhere, and I made the movers and shakers list Saturday. Made it up to like 313 or something. So haven't broke the 200s yet, and at this point won't ever break the 100s, but hey, I'm up pretty damn good. I cannot argue with that. So, yeah. I have life in general, but I already pretty much covered that when I was talking about Second Life, so I'll just put it up there. Yes, this is probably not going to be much more than an hour, so hey. Warhammer Online. I tried Warhammer, downloaded it, installed it, played it, then figured out that if you stream it, it needs to, like, download all this shit. So I just turned off the stream game and let it all download. Well, now, currently, I was going to play it at noon or 1 o'clock, and it's still downloading updates, but it's got 4 gigs of patching to do. Now see, on one end, I'm a bitch because this is a lot to download. On the other hand, WoW does it too, and this doesn't. You don't need to download a patcher. The thing opens it up right away. And it goes literally per thing. I wish they'd show the patch notes like WoW does. You know, download the patch file and then patch it while you're reading over the thing, because I have no clue what it's fixing. That I don't really like. But the game itself is actually pretty good. It's $15 a month. I've got a War Priestess and a Magus on one server. But this is one thing I like about it. Like WoW, you can play quote-unquote good guys or bad guys. But if you choose to be one side or one faction, then on that server you can't play the other faction. That's a neat thing. I like that. Because it does seem kind of, and I think they took this as a lesson from Warcraft. One thing people will do is they'll warn the other side. You know, they'll have an alt, they'll go on the other side, warn people, and then, you know, well, you're fucked because you thought something was undefended, and you come in and here's a whole army waiting for you. That isn't going to happen on Warhammer. Not easily. They'd literally have to have 2 accounts. So, but on the same account have a character on either faction. That's neat. I like that. I tried, and the server was really having trouble. I tried rolling an alliance or order or whatever it's called. Destruction is the bad guys, and I've got 2 characters on that. Then I wanted to try a warp. Uh, the equivalent of a war priestess. Let me see if I can find out what they call it. It's on the humans or the empire. You have humans, dwarves, and high elves, and then you have orcs, or what they call greenskins, chaos, which are, I guess, plagued humans or something, and dark elves. Well, war priestess is the dark elf. Magus is chaos, or the dark humans. Magus, who get to travel around on little domes. Just kind of cool. You float, you don't walk. And then greenskins and dwarves. Now, there are some things that are gender specific, like if you're a dwarf, you can't be... witch hunter is the one I wanted to try. If you're a dwarf, you cannot be a female slayer, and that's because they go topless. And then for the dark elves, they basically have two classes, but one's male and one's female. But I like how they do it. I think it's a very well put together game. I don't know if I'll pay for it just yet. They run like DDO used to, where up until level 10, it's free. And then you can still play. It's just I don't think you can go beyond level 10. $15 a month? We'll see. World of Warcraft, since I brought that up, we'll see. I'm not even going to bother talking about them because they just make me mad. So Fujiminx, the thing I had down, I bought a digital copy of her album. Actually, I bought the album. She has on their store that you can buy the album, an autographed copy. I don't know if I got in on it, but hey, if I did, cool. Otherwise, I got the download anyway. I got the digital download of 20 tracks for $10. That's pretty good. That's 50 cents a track. And I got... she released for $1.99 the high-definition video of The Music Made Me Do It with the single. Now, I had already bought the single, but I paid $1.99 and I got the video and the single. So, I really do recommend their music. Fujiminx is very good. It's just the way it's pronounced. Fujiminx.com. Everything's... you can download the album and pay whatever you want for it. I don't know if they still offer the download of the single for whatever you want. I think... but then again, you know, a high-definition video and a single for $2 is not much to sneeze at. Technically, you could get everything there for $13 and have it on your laptop or on your computer within a matter of minutes. Very much recommended. And that'll be it. Like I said, these are getting shorter because it's just putting worth into them. I want to thank Wairu for showing up. And yes, Wairu, I will still be doing a podcast. It's just going to be Wednesday, but it'll be at this same time. It'll be around 2:00. So last week we didn't get started until 3:00, but that's because we had trouble. Chaos had to fumigate his place because somebody's allergic to bees and they had a beehive right by the door. But that happens. So, anyway, I'm going to close out with Zombie Girl, We Are the Ones, and I will talk to you next week with show 199. Almost done.
sorrow.